Ouch. Something happened to my finger in the shop today. Now it's got a little cutty thing on it and it hurts.
It didn't trip the button, though. That's good.
Right? Yeah. Little fingers all dangling down on there or whatnot. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Full Spectrum Cycling. This is show number 244 currently that you are listening and or viewing to.
The 244. Woohoo.
You will notice that the beer seat is unoccupied by Mr. T-Burger this week. Apparently the plague is going through his house.
He'll have been remotely shaking up the beers in the cooler.
Right, right. And not necessarily the current plague, but a plague of some.
Yeah, the Petri dish that is having a young child.
Oh, God, those days were so fun. And then.
I work on a freaking campus, which is its own. And he works on campus, so I think it's a combo platter that he's dealing with.
And they have their youth in the daycare program at said campus.
Yes. So, yeah, so it's all
there's a lot of
I'm not baked in together. Shift.
Freaking Matt, bro. Supreme Court, my ear.
Come to butthead.
Boy, it's been sort of the roller coastery thing in a couple different ways this week. Weather-wise, for one.
Oh, yeah. Blustery.
It was blustery. It was warm. Then it was blustery. Now it's cool.
I don't know how to dress for this ever.
Also, the crypto market, boy, up and down, up and down. I got a good time to go, like, I'm getting out of this one. And it was like, yeah, perfect timing. And then it went. So other people thought similar. But that being said, Bitcoin reached an all-time high today.
And FacePlace took a poop on everybody.
Massive dumping.
How can I take pictures of my food on the Instagrams and have everyone comment on it?
I wonder how many Threads people were all pissed off. It's like the 8 people that use it or whatever.
Yeah, well, Threads is like, and myself included, after the T-Rump got elected, I'm moving to Canada. Nobody moved to Canada. Few did.
The stalwart few.
Yeah. Something of that nature. And so it was like when Elon took over Twitter and rebranded it, and everyone's like, I'm going to Threads. And
or other things. There's a couple other ones. But did they, though?
No, not really. No. Well, included. That's what I'm just
I'm saying. Just glad they're not calling it X, formerly Twitter. Now they're just calling it X. You know, why? Yeah, everybody
but it's
knows.
Still, like, anytime I have it in the freaking browser address bar, it still says twitter.com. It doesn't even like kick it to that domain.
Okay. I did not know that.
So kiss my
shows how
ass.
Often I use it. I didn't use it before. I'm not using it now.
Such an idiot. Ghost.
Yeah.
Such a twit.
Ha. Huh.
Get it?
Yeah.
Whoa. What's in this? That's amazing.
We'll get to that in a little bit. But before we get to that, there's just a couple things we could go through about Milwaukee Minute here, or five or so. We, meaning I, being me, that it's as I am.
The royal we.
Had confirmed with Ron at Amorphic that indeed April, it's April, folks. April 2nd will be our partay.
Truly Fool's Day.
Which is within a few days of our semi-10-year anniversary sort of thing. And that would be directly south of our current location in the podcast MKE studio over at Amorphic Brewing in the back room, which is, it's a nice party place back in there.
The one with the stage.
Right.
Or the.
Yeah.
The landing that's
and
the stage.
And the penny farthing that is. we're kind of expecting Mark Peterson to call in tonight, so hopefully we can talk penny farthings with him. But there's a story behind the one that's also in the back room at Amorphic. And I have sent out word to people to do entertaining. So we'll get a schedule closer to the date. But just mark it on your calendar if you're around here. I'll be doing a Facebook event and once they're back up and running and we can trust them not to screw shit up. And April 2nd, somewhere around 6 p.m. would be a good time to do. We may even do a live show for your entertainment pleasure.
Watch the magic.
Maybe. You can see it happen live.
You can smell it.
Maybe.
Smell it.
Possibly. What else we got going? Hey, today I should have picked up Dave Slabowski's Omnium cargo bike, meeting Brandon from down there in Chicago. getting this. I'm excited about these things.
I haven't looked at it yet.
I think it's worth looking at. I'll have a link.
That's on me.
I'll have a link in the show notes. It's not a low slung thing like a bullet. It's more of a, it reports are it rides much more like a normal, quote unquote, bike. So, and Dave is doing a very specific use, which is dog packing because Cowboy's getting older. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, we'll have hopefully a video on it when we build it and stuff. And all sorts of.
I just can't get over it. I mean, when I won my backpack was the cargo bike bingo from what was the name of the damn shop? Walker's Point.
Third Eye Blind.
And you know what I'm talking about. I always want to say Truly Spoken. I know it's not Truly Spoken.
No, Truly Spoken still lives.
Yeah, it was the one that was across from Sabbatic.
If you went into the other room on the shop, looked at the bullet that's in there, you'd probably see the name on there.
Mm-hmm. But
the one with Big Bird at it.
Yes. Okay. And it was a bingo thing. And okay, boom. And I won whatever. And I won that Banjo Brothers backpack. And I'm still, using a variant of it. But all the same, part of that was having to ride cargo bikes. And I had a Tony Berger, Bricker Tony, kind of in the front of not a bullet, but the same idea, the front.
Sure.
Cargo wing. And I almost put him into the antique store that was right there in front of Radio Milwaukee.
Was it outside or inside?
Outside.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Well,
they had the big ass garage doors open, and it would have gone inside. But I mean, it was my first time on a cargo bike.
Yeah,
in the saddle at all
on one of those type of bikes. It takes just a couple of minutes. Basically, you want to look forward, not down at the front wheel or whatever.
It's snowboarding and skiing. Look where you're going. Not where you right. Are.
Or with the T-Burger in the,
Yeah, well, it's hard not to see a damn T-Burger when he's. When he was complaining about Daniel squirming around in the back of his steed. I'm going you were squirming around the front of mine. Doing the same thing. Almost ramming into antiques. It all comes full circle.
It's not a bull in a china shop. It's a cargo bike in an antique shop.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. Did you put the story on Ringo on here?
Yeah. It was done in last year in November or something like that. But it popped up on a couple occasions through the social media feeds of the world.
Yeah, I saw it this morning and I thought somebody commented that he used to collect stones and give them to people. I'm like, wrong guy, wrong one name guy. That was Marco. This is Ringo.
Ah. Yeah.
The now deceased Marco. Yes. He used to give you the
stuff. The BBC Marco.
BBC Marco with stones.
I'm
like, it's not Ringo, man.
When he would go on vacation and told Carney to water his plants, and he left little stations of his urine each of the plants.
Yeah, I don't know. Plants don't. I don't know if they
needed his urine. Apparently,
I don't know if they. Maybe certain plants like urine. Acidic,
but he
or
was
whatever.
A cat
not,
like that.
Not sure, but yeah, he was a cool dude.
Lunds was talking that he got him a bike at some point on one comment somewhere.
Yeah, many many years ago when he was still at Bikesmiths, I believe. So it's,
yeah, that's
why
it was
a long time.
That was a time machine story-ish.
It's worth a read if you like characters from your city, probably wherever you are. You probably have one similar. We've got the Milverine. We've got the Ringo. You know, there's stalwarts that are very noticeable if you are in your city at any time. I was putting these show notes in the show notes, the Google Doc show notes, and noticing I didn't know if it had anything to do with general internet slowdown yesterday, Tuesday, but it seems to be taking an awful long time, and I did a little research on how long it's been out there, and it's every show since we started, since we started using this, it's been many years, and it's 328 pages that are trying to load into the browser. It's
it belongs in a museum.
Well, I might just do it. I don't know. I wonder if I can make a WordPress post, just copy and paste this into a post with 75,000 words or whatever
it is. I'm sure. Why not?
I mean, well, I don't know.
Well, how many pages did you say?
328 pages.
Shit, yeah. Shit, yeah.
As one post.
No problem. No problem whatsoever.
We'll give it a go.
But it was going slow because I thought it was my phone because I normally have the potato phone that don't do nothing.
Right on.
But ta-da, it is because of its density. Damn it, Google! All right, failing everybody.
I got a thing. I got to do a deal here. I got a green. I got a green thing. I'm gonna push on the green button. There we go.
Green light, go.
Welcome to the radio program, caller. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, this is Mark Peterson from Ogden, Utah. How are you guys doing today?
Dandy, and yourself?
Fantastic. Just watching Life Cycles. I forgot how good a movie this is.
What? That is it? Is it a movie about cycling? What?
Yeah, it's a bicycling movie called Life Cycles. It's several years old, but it's just a really cool movie.
What is it on one of our streaming channels?
Let me get you some more information. Directed by Derek Franklowski and Ryan Gibb. I can't believe you guys haven't seen it. It's a movie about mountain biking that's filmed in at the level of like a National Geographic project. It's just incredible photography, amazing music. It's just beautiful.
Huh. Is it on DVD, video, VCR, or is it streaming on Netflix or some other online service?
You just go on to YouTube.
Gotcha.
YouTube and just put in Life Cycles and you'll find it.
I always forget about YouTube because I only recently started paying for it to not have ads. And I don't normally think of it. It's like, well, I really wanted to see X movie and it's not on any, trying to find one on any streaming service is an exercise in futility, but I think they're all on YouTube at some point.
Pretty much. And even with ads, I mean, I was hunting for, speaking of bicycle and movies, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And I was like, where can I find Pee-wee's Big Adventure? It's got to be on one of these damn platforms. And sure enough, YouTube. Free with ads, but right, that's all you need. Whatever. I have to go get a beer. I have to go to the bathroom. Got to address my paella. Things of that nature.
Works for me.
So how are you guys doing, man? What's the weather like out there? As far like out here, this winter has sucked. Like, it's been a brown winter. I've only gotten to ride in snow probably a handful of times, and that was over just a couple of days because it snowed and then it melted. So please tell me you guys are riding in snow.
Negatory, good buddy. I think we're, I don't know if we're in a similar boat, but heck, we had an all-time high several days this month, I think. Last week we
hit a 74 as a high.
Yeah, it's 74 degrees in February in Wisconsin. Holy shit.
And then the next day was down to 24.
Wow.
There was a 50.
Bloop. Yeah, 58 degree temperature drop in one day. And no snow. But here, the icing on the cake might be that the lake also has gotten, like, big Lake Michigan, no ice on it. And that means it should be evaporating faster, which means we should have more beach come summertime. So where we didn't get any snow, and they didn't even get snow in northern Wisconsin, the Berkey, you know, ski race was bad. The fat bike Berkey, which is coming up.
For real?
Yeah. They had to manufacture snow.
Yes, but they only do like a 10K loop and it was bad news. And then the fat bike Berkey.
Don't you guys get just buried in snow?
Not where we are, but up there they usually do. Fat Bike Berkey is coming up this weekend, which is March 9th or whatever the date of the actual Fat Bike Berkey is. I think that, I mean, lots of people have canceled. Lots of people aren't going because there's no snow. So that said, you can still ride your fat bike anywhere you want, anytime you want, and you could go to the Fat Bike Berkey, although it will be more like a Shawamagon, you know, fat tire 40 race on a fat bike because there's no snow. Yep. But the course doesn't care.
That's fun.
Yeah. Our buddy, right on. Our buddy Dave up there has an Airbnb and the people that he had canceled for this, they said, I think they should have just gone up there. It's a kick-ass place to stay anyway. So.
Yeah.
But so no snow for you either.
Well, yeah, I know. No snow, and it's been bumming me out. It's like it's kind of depressing when it's just gray and cold and kind of wet.
Yeah. And windy.
And yeah, for sure.
Yeah, windy. Windy, for sure. Yeah.
So I've been...
Lame. But, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I've been following your posts on Facebook, as some of us are wont to do. And now I'm just playing with this box of beer here, which we will get to the top of the hill in a second. But I was interested to see that your banana seat spring saddle project is not dead.
Yes.
It's not dead.
Excellent.
I've been...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, people, I have pirated a couple of those pictures because we don't have your glorious visage on our video podcast this time. We're working on that. Someday we'll have everybody on. But I did take a couple of your pictures of your saddles and whatnot, and maybe I'll intersperse them through the video so they know what we're talking about. But when I first saw the front of it, cool. I thought it was like, did you repurpose like a titanium water bottle cage, or what is that thing? Because
it's a spring seat, a spring for a seat. It hooks to the top of the seat post just in a double rail clamp configuration, and then it goes up and it has a double rail clamp on it that hooks onto your seat and to the top of those rails. And what it does is it's supposed to create like a spring, like just a springer that you could put on any seat off the seat post into a twin rail type seat configuration. Well, when I saw this, I thought, there's my front pivot, because the front on the banana seat springer that I wanted to do, I was forcing a pivot through a hard connection where I'm clamping down on a post. It's not meant to rotate. You're kind of forcing it to rotate. It's not freely moving. And I was thinking about bearings, about doing this, that, the other thing, just getting overly complicated. Then I saw this thing and I was like, oh my God, that is the answer. This thing is going to be plush.
And when does it actually get its first ride?
I don't know about ride, but I'm hoping to mock it up tomorrow and actually put my weight on it and see what it feels like.
That sounds imminent then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'll just be the metal pan, and I'll probably ride it around a little bit. I'll take pictures of it and stuff when I do it. But I just want to see how it feels, because I had to order special springs to get the spring rate right on the little old shocks that I'm putting on there. And so I wanted it to feel kind of like, you know, the old Springer seats from like Schwinn's and stuff back in the day, how you get on them. They'd be very comfortable, but, you know, a little mushy, like they just a little bit of squishy squish everywhere you go. Right.
Right.
Well, I wanted that kind of performance, but with a banana seat, it's so long that you get that long, you get all this torsional twisting motion that makes it feel weird, like the bike's a giant noodle, like the whole bike starts feeling like a noodle, because you control a lot of the bikes through your butt, you know, like gripping the seat.
Yeah, for sure.
You put a lot of stability into the bike, right? So when I found this configuration, it got rid of a pivot up at the front and made it just a spring-loaded front kind of curve that's a solid connection. So the front end will move around. I can hard clamp it up at the front, and then my springs in the back that have an adjusted spring rate, this thing should be like riding on a cloud, man.
It sounds encouraging.
After I get the proto mocked up for the first time, then I'm going to weld in X bracing underneath it so I don't have another banana seat fold in half. Then custom spray it copper, and then I'll be wrapping my Caterpillar custom seat cover on it.
You're putting a lot of time into this thing. I'm sure it's going to be worth it in the end.
It's like a vision. It's like one of those things, like an OCD. Once you see it, you have to do it. You just have to make it.
Right on. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
By Cracky. I think we've ridden this seat for a little bit, and we are now at the top of the hill.
Woo-hoo!
I understand you went out to
get... What are you guys drinking?
This is a JK find. This is a... See, last week I said Deschutes, and I was wrong. It was New Belgium last week. But this is Deschutes this week, Fresh Haze IPA. It is a...
Nice.
It's a juicy, hazy, 6.5%. Deschutes, which I don't think they make a bad beer at Deschutes, at least of what I've had. They really don't do a poor job there.
You get the Benz in Oregon.
Yeah, so that's what we've got. How about your own self?
No, I'm going old school PBR, just like in my Penny Farthing video.
Nice.
Yeah, PBR is like usually a staple in the fridge, but it's not in there right now.
I was looking for Lone Star. I was looking for like
Grain Belt.
They
Lone
didn't
Star.
Even have the you know the go to dad beers. I was going to.
So you mentioned Penny Farthing briefly just this second ago, and I was before you were on air, we were talking about our upcoming April 2nd 10-year anniversary party next door to Morphic, and there's a Penny Farthing over there too. I don't think it's quite as authentic as the one that you demonstrated so skillfully in your videos, but it is it was I think a Coker or somebody made one Coker, you know. They make the 36-inch bikes. Yeah. This is a 36-inch Penny Farthing, and our good friend Dave almost ended up in the hospital riding it. And then because he wanted more people to go in the hospital, he gave it to us to mess around with. And then I said, no, I'm not going to the hospital, so I'm not riding that thing.
Didn't DiNardo take a stab at it? Or was he just mentally going to take
people
a stab
have taken,
at it?
I don't know. And it's sitting over there by the stage where either DJs and or bands will be performing, just visually mocking people to make them want to come and ride it and throw them on the ground.
So, you know, it was way easier to ride than I thought it was going to be. What you guys didn't get to see was the very first swing I took at it, I rode it. It didn't kick me off or nothing. I got up, I rode it, and it was just fine. But you know, where's the fun in that, right? Like, you're just riding around, you're on it, yay! So I set out to create some drama, so I kind of intentionally wrecked a couple times just to see if I could get off that bike with the same kind of skill I can get off other bikes. And it turns out I can, except for on the way down, I punted the frame with my right shin. Oh my God, I got a mouse that was an inch and a half tall.
Yeah, were you trying to do like the leg over the handlebar thing or something? Or
yeah, I wanted to go full OTB,
which works better on bikes that are closer to the ground.
Right, when the wheel's not so big, it's not such a big deal. But if you're going to do it right. But in the picture, you can see it in the picture of me going over the bars. The rear tire is off the ground, like. By a foot.
Yeah, I see that.
So this particular one you had is fixed, like you're braking and or powering with your legs, right?
Yes, sir.
So the one we have is ridiculous because it has an actual caliper brake on the front wheel, meaning if you really grip that thing, you're gonna, you know, probably launch yourself as you intended over the bars, I would think.
Or do something really cool.
And it also has a freewheel, so you can coast on it, which is not typical of Penny Farthings either.
Yeah. That is a weird aspect. See, in the video, on my fourth try, when I jumped up on it, I didn't get all the way onto the seat, so I had to lift myself up and forward a little bit in mid-stroke on the pedal. But where it's fixed and the way that configuration is, it was a very awkward maneuver to kind of get up over it. It was a little spooky, but... yeah, those things are tons of fun. They're not nearly as scary as you might think. If you're with someone who knows how to ride them, they can talk you through it, and almost anyone can get up on there, provided you don't have a giant gut. The last time I wanted to ride it and had the opportunity to ride it, I weighed like 260 pounds, and it just wasn't going to work. You know, my belly would have been hanging over the front of the bars. And so I had to wait until I lost a bunch of weight to even be able to attempt it. But man, they're super fun. I think it's cool as hell.
So is this an old one, or is it a modern reproduction?
It's a repop. But I guess my buddy wants to pimp it out. Like, you know how I do with my bikes. Like, I put crazy shit on them, bling and whatnot. I guess he wants to do some stuff to it. So maybe we'll pimp out a Penny Farthing.
Yeah, you're still building bikes. I see on the Facebook that you haven't stopped making the colorful and interesting bikes that you like to do.
Yeah, and I'm only about 50 into it. So yeah, I'm not getting bored yet.
Awesome.
Crazy.
So here's one more thing I wanted to ask you about. Your Dirty Apes, your Damn Dirty Apes connection. What's that all about? Tell me about the connection between you and the music it's in the Penny Farthing video, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I back in the day when we were doing the whole thing with Fat Bikes, it was starting to blow up, 13, 14. I was looking for other people that love fat bikes, and I ran across this dude that loved fat bikes, and his name was Jody Huck. And I, unbeknownst to me, he's a rock star, right? So we spent years just, you know, him doing his thing, me doing my thing, until I finally found out that he had a band. I started listening to his music, and it's awesome. And a little while back, I contacted him. I said, dude, I've got this project that I want to roll out. Can I use you guys' music? And he's like, absolutely. And he gave me permission to use their entire catalog of music. And it's just been so awesome. He's done so many cool things. Dude, he sent like 5 t-shirts, every one of their album CDs. He sent me one of their original first pressed vinyl records, like their very first piece of stuff, you know. It's just, I'm honored and privileged to have the Damn Dirty Apes as a sponsor for the neighborhood bike shop. And hopefully when I get everything figured out right, I'll kick it off, and I'm not going to do it before then. I don't want to put out something half-assed as my first thing.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot of irons in the fire. We talked a few weeks ago about starting to do some kind of video, like with Zoom or however we're going to do it. And it would be awesome.
Yeah, it's all wrapped into that.
Yeah, okay. At some point, yeah, we'll get that figured out so that, you know, you're on while we're talking live as we are right now, but also on the video.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're working on the studio here too, so it's a learning experience.
Well, by the way, congratulations.
On?
I've been watching all of you guys' videos, and I really enjoy them, man. Tony and JK are awesome. You guys have had a couple guests on. But, I mean, listening to the podcast is awesome. It's fun. But seeing everyone talk about it and seeing their facial expressions and the shit that goes back and forth, there's so much more depth to it. I really enjoy it, man. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, because I think there's room for both. You know, while I'm driving down the road, I don't think I can watch a video podcast. And that is somewhere where I do consume video or podcasts regularly. Is like driving up to Hayward 5 hours away, I'm going to be listening to podcasts on my way up there. But I agree with you that having the video aspect is definitely adding another layer. And we got big plans. We're going to Joe Rogan and the Beast got nothing on us what we got coming. So,
no boy.
Or whatever his name. What is his name? McBeast or Mr. Beast, whatever the hell his name is. I mean, look, we got one listener. His name is Mark. We're going to have more because we're going to do better shit. So, you know.
I was going to ask about something in particular, and maybe it's we're almost time and I'm opening a can of worms, but counterfeit parts. I've had a buddy that bought some Paul counterfeit parts off of AliExpress. The levers, they looked pretty damn good. I'm not going to lie to you. There was a little bit of shoddy machining here and there, but they were pretty close to looking exactly like Paul levers. But then he got a Paul box stem, like a fake Paul box stem, a knockoff, and the threads stripped out and pulled out on it. And that got me thinking about it. So I ended up contacting Paul and Gary at Paul Components, talking to them about it. And they turned me on to what they're doing about it. But it's a big deal, and people are getting hurt by buying these products. So people need to know, don't fuck around with that shit. Fuck around with it. You may be costing yourself a big chunk of teeth or forehead or whatever.
Well, I mean, Paul's been around forever. I was around when he first started, and I would consider him like an Interbike buddy for sure, because we hang out at Interbike when they used to do that. But I'm pretty sure that he's very conscious of making good quality products, to the point that if you have something that he put out in like 1989 or 1995 and you want to sell it on eBay because you're trying to, you know, do something different, he'll say, you know what, that one could use a bearing upgrade, or that one could use this. And, you know, he's very very good with making sure that his product, even from that long ago, is not going to, you know, fuck someone up, basically.
Yeah. He stands behind everything he's ever done.
That's 20, 30, it's 30 years, close to 30 years that he's been doing this. And what does GM stand behind their cars for 30 years? I don't think so. You know, right, I mean, right. Yeah.
Anyhow, I just felt like I needed to bring that up real quick, like, because it was something that was powerfully demonstrated right in front of me and could have been something that caused one of my friends to get hurt really bad.
Yeah.
And I consider all of you guys my friends. So I want you all not to make the mistake of thinking, oh, I'm going to take a shortcut and get something that looks like Paul, but it's not really Paul. And you're going to know it's not Paul.
Saul.
So don't be a we call him Raul.
Raul. Damn you.
Well, and I mean, flip side to this, just because it's possible, you know, there's a lot of good stuff made overseas, and it basically requires somebody to be actively keeping up with the quality. But a lot of times what you're finding is that's not how those companies work. It's, you know, good companies do good stuff, bad companies do bad stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no liability for, or accountability, should I say. And when one of those knockoffs go bad, they seem to contact Paul and say, hey, your product went bad. And he's like, that's not our product.
Right on. Well, I'm glad he's obviously aware of it. He keeps a very good track on his brand his quality and just how into making the best stuff there is, that he doesn't let that crap happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my PSA.
Well, it is an issue, and people need to be aware of it. That's all.
Yeah, perfect. All right, Mark. Well, thanks very much for calling in this week. We were Tony-less today, and you've done a good thing for us by helping us make a show that doesn't suck.
Oh, no worries. Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. As always, I'd like to invite anybody to come into Pronghorn, either in Syracuse or in Perry in Utah. Stop by, check us out, hang out with the staff, see what we've got to do, how we're approaching the whole bike thing. I think you'll enjoy it, and I hope to talk to you guys in the near future.
Real quick, in your recent one of your recent posts, you were in Pronghorn. Is the fella in the picture one of the owners, or is he a fellow worker?
He's the boss.
Right on.
He is the guy running the show.
Boss with the hot sauce.
Well, I'll throw that picture up there. We'll like intersperse it with the video.
I'm a lead man.
So that people know who they're talking to, and they can see your massively awesome beard. So
I'm trying to get there, baby.
Why, thank you, fellas.
All right, Mark. Thanks again. We'll talk to you hopefully soon.
Okay, love you, bros. Later.
Right on. Bye. All right, everybody. Mark Peterson from out there in Ogden, Utah. I'm going to write Pronghorn on my show notes so I don't forget to put – it's now PRNG /R. I'll know what that means when it comes time
to do Sven this. Shorthand.
Yeah, it's when it comes time to do
my
that
scribbles. Tomorrow. Nobody needs to know my scribbles except me.
Don't make no big deal about it.
Utah, I do believe, had a – I saw something where, with the recent release of Dune Part 2,
something that I need to see.
People were going, oh, this is where you could vacation in places that remind you of.
Well, yeah, the
Arrakis.
Yeah, you can.
So, yeah. And also, I do believe something Utah was kicking in one of those lists.
I think you might be able to, you know, get your thirst on out there if you're in the middle of the desert, too.
You could have to cultivate desert power.
Yeah, isn't water a big deal out there in the Dune area? I don't know.
It's a conspiracy by Oscar Isaac, who has been in the Marvel Universe, the Star Wars Universe, and the Dune Universe. Get me started.
Am I going to have to read all the books again and watch the movie before I watch the movie? I'm like, I can't. That's a lot of Herbert.
I'm having a hard time getting through Dune Part 1, the movie. I really am. I'm sorry. Timothy Chalamet just pisses me off. He just aggravates me. I know it's a hurdle. It's like a Will Ferrell over. You're too much of you in the world right now.
Yes, I
can't like invest my brain too much into it.
I feel what you're saying.
So I go back and I see the freaking original.
So I'm going to leave.
And Sting in the underpants.
Since we've been, I don't know how many episodes in a row we've bashed Florida, but I feel like we shouldn't let this one go without bashing Florida a little bit.
Yeah, look what you elect, you shits.
This fucking guy. Also, here's a CNBC thing. These are the 10 happiest cities in America. Guess what number 4 is, A, right here in our own fair state?
Madison.
Number 4, and I'm not 100% sure why, because I would posit that Milwaukee's a pretty freaking happy place, too.
But the off and the...
Yeah.
You go with the crime and the deaths and the
whatever.
Kia boys and...
But here's the actual full headline. These are the 10 happiest cities in America. None of them are in Florida.
Oh, that's their headline.
That's CNBC.
I thought it was your headline.
No, that's CNBC's headline.
I got to click the button that time.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Florida, go suck an egg, and we'll be here next week.
Watch out for your weird crocodiles.
If you want to call in and tell us it's all great and whatnot, go right ahead.
Yes. My ego is not, it's not flat.
Thing
may have sprung a small baby leak.
All right, then. Later for you people. Bye. Here's how this goes. And just because I did this in the middle of the show last week, I'm going to do it at the end of the show now. Thank you, and sync sound and all that crap. Later for you people.